So today's text is going to be out of Exodus 12, 32, and all over the other place. But whenever he comes to me, he says, I need you to preach next week, okay? This is the other part of the story, and I prayed this morning that God would cage all the rabbits who didn't need to run their trails today, okay? So I'm just going ahead and letting you know, I'm going to try to give you meat today, but I got to give you the backstory first. He comes up to me and he says, hey, I need you to preach Exodus 32. I'm like, man, get out of my face with this. I mean, that was almost my reaction. But y'all don't understand, whenever I say stuff like that, it's because God's hitting me with something. Like, man, you better get on. Because, like, Holy Spirit hit, because, see, I had been in Genesis 34. So you don't understand the connection between Genesis 34 and Exodus 32 until you really know the players. See, in Genesis 34, there's a horrible thing that happens to Dinah. This is in my prologue message that you can find on my Facebook page that I preached Monday night. Here's why I got so excited. Because I'm preaching this message last Monday night that's bigger than I can preach in one session. I don't know what I'm going to do with all this information, but I know I've got to get the whole word out. I've already got the message's title, When Blessings Become Curses. And then this man comes up and says, I need you to preach on money next week out of Exodus 32. See, Genesis 34 starts the story that ends in Exodus 32. And I felt like I had to tell that Exodus 32 story, but I didn't have time. Ain't God good? Because I had two messages, but I didn't have two opportunities. See, if you'll go ahead and prepare the thing that he's called you to do, he'll go ahead and give you the opportunities later. That's gravy. That's not even the main course, y'all. Because here's the thing. Got to give you a little prologue. See, in Genesis 34, Dinah gets raped. Her brothers get ticked. Her father gets a diplomacy plan from God. Her brothers break that diplomacy plan and get a curse from their father on his deathbed 50 years later. The curse on the brothers from their father 50 years later says, you're going to be scattered, covered, and smothered like hash browns from Waffle House. You're never going to be remembered, Jack, Levi, and Simeon. Because they go in and annihilate a village who were in peace because they came into covenant with Jacob. Their act caused the dissension that put them in slavery 400 years later because Pharaoh forgot their names, because who wants to remember the names of people who make treaties and don't keep them?
Come on, that's good.
This is gravy. Simeon continues to sin as a tribe. We look in Numbers 1, we see the numbers of the fighting men of the tribe of Simeon to be about 59,300. In Numbers 25, there's a cat named Zimri who causes a rebellion through his worship of the sexual idols of Asheroth, which brings a plague upon the people, in which 24,000 people are killed. Now, there is a guy named Phinehas who takes his sword and runs it through all the people who are worshiping the sexual idolatry. He kills members of the tribe who are out of line. He's from the tribe of Levi. Guess who the number one, guess where Zimri was from? Simeon. When they take the census in Numbers 26, the tribe of Simeon has 22,000 of the 24,000 people that were killed because of the worship of the sexual idolatry. Then in Exodus 32, when the children of Israel are worshiping the golden calf, the only tribe that stands with Moses are the Levites. Simeon's forgotten. Levite is scattered because every tribe has to have a priest member of the Levite clan, but they go on forever. Because God redeems them because they stayed faithful instead of worshiping the calf. That's your gravy. Let's get to the message. Our family tree. We've been talking about our family tree. We've been talking about these relationships, our relationships with our children, our relationship with our spouses, our relationships with our spiritual family, our church family, how we parent. But today I'm going to talk about the relationship that no one wants to talk about because it's like a mistress. And this has been a mistress in my life that I've not wanted to talk to my wife about. But if you want to get rid of the mistress, you got to talk about her. Because you can't heal what the mistress has done unless you talk and heal the hurt. See, some of y'all don't want to even hear that because y'all really got mistresses stuff going on. But if you want to get rid of the hurt of adultery, talk about it, then throw it away and never talk about it again. But get it out, get it healed, and then move on. Because the fact that you haven't talked about it is why you're getting talked about. Sorry. Money may not grow on trees, but our relationship with it will always bear fruit. Hey, I don't know what's going on with the back screen, but it's kind of cockeyed and off-center. I can't read most of the slides. Money may not grow on trees, but our relationship with it will always bear fruit. That's good. It doesn't say it always will bear good fruit. But it will always bear fruit. See, your problem is you think the question that you need to ask is if, but the question you need to ask is when. See, you keep thinking that your relationship with money might bear fruit. The problem is that it is bearing fruit, it will bear fruit, and it has bared fruit.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Man, because even them stubborn old Bradford pears that you can't eat still has bearing fruit, right? Tongue oil trees still bear fruit. Scuppernong vines still bear fruit. Trees that have poisonous berries still bear a fruit. See, just because it's fruitful don't mean it's good. Just because you got fruit in your relationship with money, it doesn't mean that your money relationship is a God-money relationship. Man, busyness is not production. Let's see. So Exodus 12, 35 and 36. I want to show you something here. Now, say, my God. Okay, everybody act like you are not a mute. My God will provide exactly what I need in the season that I need it. Now, here's the thing. You saying it does not mean you believe it. Because I hear a lot of things that people said that they didn't believe. The president isn't mentally incompetent. There's people who say stuff all the time they don't believe. Like, God's going to heal me. In every area of my life. Oh, man, you just had to take it out of physical? You mean I don't get to hold on to these hurts? I don't get to identify as a victim? Never be a victor if you always identify as a victim. Just saying. And the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed. Moses had instructed, okay? So here's the thing. Say, I'm a people. And I'm going to do as I'm instructed. So here's the cause. Right here. Here's the cause of this right here, okay? This is the cause. Here is the cause. Moses instructed them to do something. Okay, catch this, because I'm going to instruct you today to do something. So I want you to catch this. I want you to catch every single piece of what I'm saying. If you need to turn your phone on so you can record this so you have a copy faster, do it now. Because I'm telling you, I'm about to give you a lot of information in a short span of time, and you're going to not need to miss any of it. And the people of Israel did as Moses instructed. Right now, as a Moses, I'm instructing you. He said, they asked the Egyptians for clothing. See, if you need something right now in your life, is the time to ask. And then here's another causality, because what does it say? The Lord caused. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. Moses instructed, and the effect was that they asked the Egyptians for clothing and articles of silver and gold. You see, like, there's instruction, cause, and effect. They asked. Then the Lord caused the Egyptians to do three things. Look favorably, to give, and be stripped. Let me tell you what happens whenever the cause is a teacher. You get questions. Because Moses instructed as a teacher, and then they asked. They got questions, right? This is what I saw prophetically. That's why I wanted to show you this. But whenever the Lord does it, you get favor, you get gifts, and he strips your enemies. I want the Lord to cause things in my life today. See, this is where the wealth of the Jewish people was established. For the first time, the Egyptians gave them everything. Everything. Yeah. See, Pastor, this is the problem with Christians. Okay? They ain't never had no plagues in their lives that's been bad enough that they would give everything up to make it leave. See, because whenever the Jewish people went to the Egyptians and said, hey, if you'll give us your stuff, we'll leave. Here, 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 take it, take it. I don't want any more plagues in my life. I don't want any more flies. I don't want any more boils. I don't want you to take any more of my kids. See, but some of us, we sit into a place where we're content with losing things because we won't give up everything to get the things that we want back. Because our stuff is more important than the things that we call important. Your deer hunting season's more important than your kids. Your buddies at work are more important than your wife. You being called a man is more important than humbling yourself and fixing your relationship. You being right is more important than his feelings, ma'am. Wake up! Let's not be a feel-good message today. Money may not grow on trees, but our relationship with it will always bear fruit. The foundation of our relationship with money determines its fruit. Your roots determine your fruit. What you're planted in is the fruit that you bear. Bad soil, bad fruit. Poor sunlight, bad fruit. So when money becomes our idols, here's what the fruits are, okay? So I want to kind of give you this. So they get all this money coming out of Egypt, right? They get into the promised land. It's probably 3 months later. 90 days later, Moses is up on the mountain for the first time. He's been up there 40 days. So half the time, I want you to get this as somebody who is in this wilderness experience with President Moses, the leader of the free world, who says he's going to go up here and talk to this God. And he's gone 40 days. Oh, by the way, and his leadership is up there with him. But he's left Reverend Franklin Graham in charge of the country. Without a backbone. It's an alternate universe. So Franklin Graham doesn't have a backbone in this universe. And then the people come to this newly appointed priest of a nation and says, we need to worship something. So let me tell you what, I'm just setting this, okay? This is what you're seeing in Exodus 32. In Exodus 32, Aaron is not like a long-established leader. He's just been around since they've done the plagues and stuff, but he's never led this type of thing, because where's his authority at? Is it in the leadership realm of administration or the leadership realm of spirituality? See, Aaron is put out of his lane. See, and that's what happens is we as people will push people out of their lanes and then wonder why things get messed up, because you've got people operating out of their gifts. Because of what you want. So Aaron's pushed out of his lane by this mass of people who need something to worship. And then they take the very wealth that God gave them to sustain them, and they make a god out of their wealth. When money becomes our idol, the fruits are anxiety. Let's look at Exodus 32. Exodus 32, verses 1 and 2. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, make us a god that who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Aaron said to them, take off the gold rings that are on your ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So the people took off the gold of their ears and they brought them to Aaron. Who knows what's happened to this Moses? But we sure are tired of waiting. See, when money is your God, you have a hard time being patient on waiting for things. I don't know what you're talking about, Alan. I don't have that problem because I have enough money, so I never wait on things. So I don't have that problem. No, just because you don't have to deal with it doesn't mean that you don't have that problem. Because What if the resources that you use to sate yourself and your need to have it now is actually keeping the will of God from being present in your life because you don't have the resources to sow into the things He's calling you to sow into? Because it's about you. See, but you don't see it that way because you're a giver. Am I meddling? Because you're a giver, and you're a consistent giver, and you're a tither, and you give into missions, and you give into yourself every chance you get. But if you didn't give into yourself as much as you do, if you showed a little self-control, then you could really make a difference into the things that you're sowing into. Because that thing about the widow mite, there was two people at that box. And one gave a whole lot more than the other one, if you looked at it on a physical sheet. But Jesus said there was the one that you thought gave the most didn't.
Come on, man. Come on.
Oh, y'all ain't going to say nothing. Okay. So it causes anxiety because you move before God tells you to move. Because now you can... Or you're worried about what's going to come and you not be able to handle it. See, it causes a lack of trust in God that leads to impatience and idolatry. You move before He says to move because you're the God of that situation now. Because see, if I can create you, I can control you. Whoa, 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 no. I've heard people talk about wealth like that.
Yeah.
Oh, you think that you've got money? I'll cut your job off today. Let's see how long you last. Don't think you're being controlled by wealth? Boom, 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 boom. Greed. Now, see, we would say, how can money in our life, how can the fruit be greed in this situation when they're giving things away? Right? But see, we'll cling to possessions that as they've become idols in our lives. So what they did was they gave it away so they could worship it. They gave it away so they could worship it. Mr. Beast gives it away so you can worship him. Influencers on the internet give it away so you can worship them. Hey, answer three Bible questions. I've got $100 for you. I'll give you this dollar so you can worship me. I'm going to go feed people and film myself doing it so you can worship it. Quit making your giving a personal marketing strategy. Because that's your reward. That's your reward. Is whatever marketing you get out of it, that's your reward. It causes an emptiness when you make money a god in your life. Think about it. Here. 5 and 6. And it says here, if I can see it, And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron, on this, made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." And they rose early, and they offered burnt offerings and offered sacrifices for well-being. And the people sat down, and they ate, drank, and they reveled. That doesn't sound like emptiness. It sounds like they're having a party. They're worshiping and they're reveling in something that can't do anything for them, and they know it. See, this isn't a message for any of the baby Christians in the room. Because what we learned on Monday night was being mature doesn't mean that you're immune. You're going to make mistakes. And so here you have people who have watched a pillar of fire guide them. Creating their own God to worship, knowing that it's going to do, all it does is give them an excuse and a distraction. Man, some of y'all know that this money is not going to do anything for you, but you keep chasing it because the distraction of it is better than you dealing with your real issues. Because if you're working all the time, you're never at home.
Boy, you don't know what it's like to have to go work. Yes, I do.
My days start at 6 and most of the time end about 8 o'clock at night whenever I finally pull into my driveway.
So go tell somebody else about working the job.
I went back to the workforce. I was in full-time ministry. I went back to the workforce. Because I was needed, and I needed the money. Because as I said at the beginning, I've got to do better with that. And so it causes an emptiness when you're chasing something that's not going to fulfill you. See, the problem the first season in the industry that I'm in was me. Because I saw my job as the thing keeping me from ministry instead of the thing that kept me in ministry. That my job was my ministry. Man, I've got employees as their district manager who tell me on a continuous basis that me being in their life is changing their lives. They said, because I'm leading them. See, people want to follow a leader. Problem is everybody wants to follow or influence. And I'm not saying being an influence is a bad thing, but I'm saying if that's the only thing you're worried about is influencing and not leading, there's a difference. Influence is passive. Leading is active. Influence is a product of my leadership. Causes an emptiness. See, because idolatry never satisfies. It only leads to deeper rebellion. See, what happened? The idolatry, making the idol, didn't satisfy them. So what'd they have to go do? Get lit.
That's right. Come on.
Because the thing they were worshiping didn't fulfill them. They numbed themselves. That is the drug of pornography. Is it doesn't satisfy you, it numbs you. Gossip doesn't satisfy you, it numbs you. It doesn't make you empathetic to anybody anymore. It makes you sarcastic and cynical. That's the reason why gossip is so destructive. My next point, wealth is meant to be a tool of worship, not an object of worship. Man, if I hear one more guy tells me, man, I work 60, 70 hours just because I love my family. You sure it's not because you don't want to pay them dues on that hunting camp? You sure it's not because you don't like that new bass boat you got? You know, all the other stuff you use to keep yourself away from your family? See, I think some people hide in plain sight because they don't want to deal with stuff. See, wealth is never meant to be an object of worship. It's meant to be a tool that you worship with. All of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength, every fiber of my being. That's everything of everything, Jack. See, when we have a right relationship with money that's rooted in trust and stewardship and generosity, man, you get great fruit from that. See, and that's what we see. Because the Levites did the right thing and everybody else did the wrong thing. So the Levites were redeemed. In that moment of the golden calf, they stood with Moses and they were redeemed. Man, it gives you provision. Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. It says, once I find it, all right, there we go. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. See, when you are rooted in stewardship, generosity, and trust with your in your relationship with money, okay? We're talking about money, right? We're talking about money, right? Are we talking about money?
Yes.
You want to know how I made this real yesterday? You know what Holy Spirit revealed to me? He said, change one letter. And so I changed it to honey. Because that's what I call my wife. See, that's where I came up with the trust, stewardship, and generosity. Because see, I have to root my relationship with her in trust, stewardship, and generosity. See, when you treat money like a person that you love, you're not abusive with your money.
Come on, man.
You don't whore your money out. See, if I start treating my money like I treat my honey, my money's not going to be nearly as abused as I've been doing to it. Because, see, now I've taken it from being the mistress to being my wife.
That's good.
Y'all see the flip I just did on y'all? See, because I've been treating money like a mistress. Because a mistress don't got no worth to me. See, the mistress is all about me. The mistress is about my needs and my wants and my desires. My fantasies. So y'all need to understand. Come on, let's get real for a second. Man, women, you would not tolerate your man having a mistress. But you're tolerating him having a mistress. Or he's tolerating you having a mistress. With your shopping habits and your hidden receipts and the credit cards he don't know about. See, but whenever I have a right relationship with my honey, I'm giving her provision. I take care of all of her needs. See, when we trust in God, he supplies all of our needs. See, she's got to trust that I am the man who she thinks I am. Matter of fact, I sent that message to Pastor last night. I said, I promise you, you can trust me to be the person that you know that I am. Man, whenever I've got the right relationship with money, it gives me peace. Because Matthew, I had it marked, I think. Yeah, well, there we go. Matthew 6:25 through 33, right? And we know this, but I'm going to say this again because we know this, but we don't know this. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you drink, about your body, what you wear. Is not life more than food and your body and clothing? Look, at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more worthy than they?" And it goes on. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I can barely see it. Goes on to talk about how God takes care of the birds, takes care of the flowers. He takes care of everything. And then it closes and it says, "You're worth more than all of this. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." All these things. Well, what are these? All these things. All these things. All these things. Your needs. All these things. Your hopes. All these things. Your goals, all these things, your vision, all these things. You feel what I'm saying? All these things is all these things. Or as Lauryn Hill says, everything is everything. A healthy relationship with money frees us from fear and anxiety. What he's saying is this. Man, when you seek God, he's got you. Period. Not a comma. You need to quit editing because you're the one that puts the comma because you got to put your butt in the conversation. Purpose. Man, whenever I have the right relationship with money, I get purpose in my life. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 and 8. And this is what it says. "Each of you must give as you have made up your mind." Say, "As I've made up my mind." Who makes up your mind? I've had my mind made up for me. And you will. Every time you confess that, you will. You'll have your mind made up for you because you've already accepted a position of defeat by the confession of your own lips. Stop saying stuff that ain't true. "As you've made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Pastor talked about this earlier, I think. "And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you shall share abundantly in every good work." And it says, "The scatter scatters, and the Lord provides seed to the sower." Your problem is you don't believe the Word of God. Hey, I preached this message in the mirror before I ever talked it to you. Because when I've got phone calls that won't stop on my phone and I'm rejecting call after call after call after call because I don't have an answer, I'm not believing the Word of God. Just being real. And I've been aligning my heart back to the Word of God. Come on. See, I and pride stayed out of the marketplace too long. I told Pastor this week. I stayed about a month too long. And I've been eating the fruit of my relationship with money. Come on. I've been eating the fruit of my relationship of money in the relationship with my wife. I've been eating the fruit of my relationship with money my children's entire lives. I've been eating the fruit of my relationship with money my entire life, and so have you. And you've been calling it everything else, and you start with the devil. But see, generosity aligns us with God's mission and builds his kingdom. See, when we align ourselves in generosity, than kids are sponsored in Honduras. When we align ourselves with generosity, then kids in Haiti get an education. When we align ourselves with generosity, kids in Vietnam hear the gospel. When we align ourselves with generosity, you understand what I'm saying? When we align ourselves with generosity, maybe so many kids over in the inner city of Mobile will stop getting killed. Because I'm just going to tell you, if you can donate, insert your amount here, to any political candidate and support their agenda, and you don't give into missions, I think you're in the wrong kingdom. If you were real quick to put a sign in your yard about your political candidate, but you still hadn't got one of those freaking Destiny Kids Academy signs, what part are you really on? Do I need to continue or can I go? So here's activate and apply. What do I do with this? I call it ask, act, and apply. So here you go. Here's some questions I want you to ask. What areas of your life have you allowed money or resources to take God's place? I'm asking a question because I want you to answer that. Not at home. This isn't homework. This is now work. This is classwork. Put in the time right now. You answer that question to yourself. And if you cheated in school, you can't cheat in this. Because you already know the answer. You already know the answer. I know the answer. See, because the area where I've allowed money or resources to take God's place is in the area of trust. Because as long as the balance in my bank account's okay, I can do great things. I'm a world changer. I'm generous. I know what to do. But whenever I don't operate on my budget, it makes money not be in my account. And then guess what I am? I'm defeated. I'm depressed. I'm mean to my kids. Because if they ask me for anything, I'm already assuming that the answer is no. I'm being real here, okay? Y'all don't have to accept my transparency, but I'm just telling you, this is real. This is a struggle my kids have walked through their entire lives, and I'm repenting to y'all right now because I don't want y'all to walk in this generational curse that I've had put on me, and I break it off of you now in Jesus' name. And I've already watched each one of you operate in a greater level of wisdom about finances than I ever did at your age. And so I'm saying right now that that's going to increase and it's going to continue, not over just you, but on every generation that's represented in this room. So you got to ask these questions and you got to mean it when you answer it. I told Chris in the lobby that this message has the ability to change the legacy of your generations. And I mean it. It's going to change the way you run your mission. I'm decreeing that over y'all. That matter of fact, right now, God, right now in Jesus' name, I declare over them, God, Lord, that you're going to give them OCD-like focus, God, on what finances really need to look like. And God's going to, here's the thing, he's shifting your paradigm. He's going to give you a new way, so stop thinking you got it figured out after 15 years because you ain't even scratched the surface right now is what he's saying. He's about to open up new paths for you. Is God your provider or not? Is he your provider or not? Because you either know his name is Jireh, or you call him Jerry. Because his name ain't Jehovah Jerry, it's Jehovah Jireh. And that means that he is my provider. And you got to know that you know that he's either your provider or hostile is. Y'all say, I love you, Alan. And you can't hurt my feelings. Okay, thank you. His name is either Jireh or his name is I'm on a fixed income. I said that because that was going after an entire generation. And I needed y'all to love me before I said it. Are you using what he's given you to glorify him? Is that great job you got at Austell to glorify him, or is it to glorify you? And to prove that you're not a loser to everybody you went to high school with. And to show your daddy that you did better than him. Like, what has he given you and why? What would it look like if you used your resources for kingdom purposes? What would it look like? For real. Like, for real, for real. So that's the ask. Here's the act. Say this with me. I recognize that there are times I've allowed the gift to replace the giver. For this I repent. Amen. You just broke generational curse off of you. Because we've all done that. We've all done that. We've all been like the spoiled kid at Christmas who finally got the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. And for those who didn't know last week, that's called the USS Flag that he was talking about, the big battleship carrier that that spoiled brat had that I didn't get. And, yeah, I still got animosity about that. But all the times that that's happened in my life and I let that get me all excited and I forgot him, I repent. And every time my situation was bigger than God. Because the inverse is true of that same thing. Because I need the gift to be big. Say it with me. I declare I am a bold kingdom investor. The tithe, my offerings, and my generosity reflect my relationship with money. Now, did I say my tithe? The tithe. A tithe ain't never been yours, ain't never gonna be yours. It's just the tithe. Because it's his. And it's all, and there's no, you don't even need to define it as the Lord's, because the tithe by definition is his. See, because this is what this was a picture of, by the way. Some of y'all, this is gonna be life-changing right here. This perspective right here will be life-changing to you. God's calling you here. Because what God spoke this morning was that this wasn't going to be a step today. It was going to be a paradigm shift, quantum leap. See, some of y'all are on the floor here. And just to get on stage is terrifying. And you're called to hear. Like, you're terrified to get on stage, and God's calling you here. Like, some of you are scared to share your testimony, and God's calling you to the masses. Because the promise is not that he'll take you from height to height. Promise is that he'll take you from glory to glory to glory. This is where I want to be. This is the jump I'm making. Y'all don't understand. This is the jump I'm making. This is the jump God's calling us all to make right here. See, because I'm a bold kingdom investor. I sent stuff out last night to some people that God gave me last night that I was terrified to send because it makes my word be dated with something that God told me he was going to do. I will be intentional, specific, and committed in my generosity and focused in my kingdom investments. I will be intentional, specific, and committed in my generosity and focused in my kingdom investments. I'm going to break that down just very quickly. Intentionality. You're making a choice to do it.
That's right.
Specific. Man, you're not a shotgun, you're a rifle. I know Benny needs your money, okay? But Benny's got plenty, so it here. I'll repeat it for the people who won't amen that. Benny's got plenty, send it here. Benny's had plenty for a long time, send it here. I'm committed. I want you to think committed like you're in a ward committed. In other words, you're tied up and can't escape. You're so committed in your generosity. That you're crazy in your generosity. You understand what I'm saying? That's the level of commitments God's looking for. He's looking for your generosity to become an obsession with you. Because that's how obsessed he is in his generosity with you. So that's what he wants to see operate through you. Apply. You need to pray daily for your wisdom and finances. You'll pray for your dog, your cat, your hamster. You'll pray for your mama, your daddy. You'll pray for the person across the street that hates you, but you won't pray about your money. And I think it's because most of you are scared of what God's going to tell you. Everybody look in front of you, behind you, wherever you got to look, but grab a tithe envelope right now. This is something everybody can do. This is something everybody in the room can and should do. I want you to sow an offering today. Marked mustard seed. I didn't ask Pastor for permission to this, and you can get mad at me later. But God already told me that I was supposed to sow a seed today called mustard seed. And Pastor confirmed it as I walked out a while ago. I was walking out the door and I heard him say this. I probably shouldn't say this, but I want you to know that we're operating in the red. God started stirring what the mustard seed's about. Now, if you know the parable of the mustard seed, you know that it says that if you have faith as the mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, "Be thou cast into the ocean," and it will remove itself. Okay? But I want you to think about mustard seed, okay? As my granny would have said, they're teeny-tiny. They're teeny-tiny. They're tiny. And so I can put probably 1,000 mustard seed, if not more, in my hand. And when I take that mustard seed and I plant them the way they used to, it's broadcast like this. And it scatters. And Pastor, each one of those seeds have their own opportunity to take root and bear fruit. Right? But I'm not trying to direct where that money goes. I'm not trying to designate where my seed goes. You understand what I'm saying? You feel what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
The day after Thanksgiving is called what? Oh, come on. I know some of y'all are excited about the day after Thanksgiving. What's the day after Thanksgiving called? I don't know if y'all's faith is great enough, but I think mustard seed might make this. I think the people in here can take and make a mustard seed offering. And that we can prophetically start declaring that Black Friday becomes a Black Friday. Because God called me to a different offering today. See, like he called me to something that challenged me today. because I'm still in that process of eating the fruit of my relationship with money. You understand what I'm saying? I need y'all to feel this because I'm walking this out in front of you. Completely unmasked and unveiled. Man, I've had a bad relationship with money. She's been a horrible mistress. And I finally have started focusing on my relationship with my honey. I'm making money more like my wife and less like a mistress every day. Do you understand? I want you to sow a seed today. Real seed, okay? Now here's the thing. I don't have any money. Because there's people who will say that. Here's what I want you to do. Where it says other, fill it out like you're putting money in there. And then put the amount that you can believe God for between now and the end of the year. And you build your own seed bank. You make a commitment to yourself. You hear what I'm saying? This isn't about somebody going to come chase you down. But you put your word on this and it can't come back void. Can you believe him for some seed? Because you can flat short believe him for your Netflix subscription every month, or you wouldn't subscribe and make that obligation. Do it. Don't say you're going to do it later. Do it right now. There's pens in front of you too. Do it. And write mustard seed on it. And I even put Black Friday offering. Because I'm believing for a Black Friday offering. Not just my seed, but your seed and our seed. And it may not be on Friday, but what if this is the offering that shifts your faith so I become a consistent giver and you become a consistent giver and you give God his tithe? We can change the world if everybody in here would just do their part. And I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but this is what I am doing. Get in. Get in and create a kingdom-focused budget. What does that mean? It means I'm going to have to, like, chew my own shoes and sit down with my wife, and we're going to have to make a budget. And we're going to have to operate it with God first in it. This is your apply. This is your apply. Not to drag this out or to prolong it. That's what I had for you today. We've got to change this relationship we have with money. We've got to take it from being this thing that is running our lives and us start running it. Because God wants to use us to change the world. And one of the greatest tools he's given us is the money that we make. And that's how God will fill it. And so I don't know how you want to put a bow on this, Pastor, but.
So this is what I'll say. So this series is called Our Family Tree. We talked about husband and wife. We talked about parent-child. We talked about our church family. And it's like, this one's just weird. Like, you know, it's like, and money. But the number one thing that will cause you issues in your marriage is money. And then the second two that fall in that is communication with your spouse and sex. And I'm telling you, any pastor you go to ask them, and they will all give you the same answers when people come to us and their marriage is in problem. It's one of these three different areas. Money is the number one. Jesus talked about money more than any because he knew that we would make idols of that. And so our relationship with money is so important to our family health. It'll screw your family up, or it'll set your family up for legacy. And I'll say it again. Money will screw your family up, or it will set you up for legacy. And you have to understand having money or not having money, either one of those is not the solution, and both can be the problem. Are you following me? You can have a ton of money and still be screwed up and leave a horrible legacy. That's why these multi-billionaires will say to, I am not leaving my massive fortune to my kids. They've got it right. See, what we want to do is we want to leave our children massive amounts of money. And if there are children in the room, it's like, yes, please leave me something, parents. Listen, you need to work. It doesn't mean you can't leave your children something. They have got to learn to work on their own. So this relationship with money is very, very important. This is setting us up for this last series of this year, which is going to be on giving. It's going to be on generosity as we move into our Christmas series. And like, if I had my way, I would not be preaching this because, you know, sort of like you, I'm like, nah, people don't want to hear about this. It's what we need to hear, and it's what God said during the fast. And God knows what he's saying. So I take him at his word. You know, many times we're looking at it, it's like, I take you at your word. Bless me, Jesus. I take you that you're going to bless me. I take you going to deliver me. No, sometimes God speaks to us. And he gives us commands. And he said, if you love me, you'll take me at my word. If you love me, you'll do what I say. And so we take him at his word when it means bless me. And we take him at his word when it means you be a blessing. And this is a growth. I've prayed today that before the message, during the message, God, do something in the supernatural that we can't see, but we will see. Like, we're not seeing what God's doing in the room right now, but we will see. There will be a manifestation of it, an empirical, tangible result. And I asked Alan to preach this message, not because I couldn't preach it, but I felt like that was what was supposed to happen. And see, I already know his relationship with money. I already know all of that about you. And so what this is, I didn't give him a whole lot of direction. I just said, this is where God said go, and I want you to bring this, because a few weeks ago God gave a prophetic message in this house, and the message was, do you love me more than these? Like, these things. The blessings that I've, do you love me more than these, or do you love these things more than me? And so the reality is that, man, we don't let money become our God. We don't let fear, we don't worship fear, we don't focus on fear, we don't focus on anxiety. And whenever we give out of faith. And I remember this old guy, I've preached this in messages before here. And he is an elder in our church, a statesman of a gentleman. And he had this voice like this. And he said, Rife, the devil, he said, you don't need to be given what you used to give because you're on a fixed income. And he said, I told the devil, if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to give 20% of my fixed income. He said, so... And I didn't hear the enemy again. Here's the deal. Man, we've got to get this right. And right now in the Christian world, it's not Destiny, it's not City Hope, it's not First Baptist Church. It's in the Christian world. We don't have this right now. I want this house to mature. And that's what all next week, this is a perfect message for it. So, There's those of us, like, I'm going to tell you what the Lord has been dealing with me on, and we're going to play this out next month in our series. But we're going to bring a Christ's birthday offering. You know, Jesus wasn't born in December, guys. But that's just where when we celebrate it. So we don't really truly know the date he was born. But we're just celebrating it. We just put a date and we go, that's it. Because that's, you know, that's a time we can celebrate it. And we're going to, I'm going to encourage you to bring a Christ birthday offering. You give today if you can give. What I was hearing you say, and, you know, this was how I was hearing things in my brain, was, man, believe for an offering. And if it's like, man, things are tight or whatever, just believe for something between now and Christ's birthday offering at the end of the year. And between now and then, believe for it. Believe that God's going to provide that for you. And so that's just something that I was going to talk to them about throughout the next month, introduce it next week. But this can kind of be a part of that. Give today if you're at a place to give. Like, I got to literally go get my money because I didn't come in here with any. And that's okay. But what we're doing, man, is we're doing something. And I'm just telling you, if today you walk out of this place and you go, man, that just wasn't, I didn't jive with that. Listen to me. I'm speaking to you as a prophet. Something's wrong with you. I love you, but if you sense that, something's wrong with you. And you need to go ask God, God, what is off out of alignment with me and your heart for generosity? Okay? That's not a reprimand, but it is a reproving. So, Holy Spirit, as we leave today, I thank you for the word of God. I pray that you, I trust that you'll do what you've asked me to do. And I pray that I'll be obedient to your word. I pray that you will be obedient. You, God, will be obedient to your word because you don't violate your word. God, today as we walk out of this place, my prayer is that no one in this room feels like they are beaten up because we don't give, the scripture says, out of compulsion or just being beat down. God, we are compelled to give because we are created in your image. You are a giver and we are a giver. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word today. As we leave this place, we leave and we're going to open our minds to you as you continue to speak to us about where we are in our relationship. And this can either be our mistress and we continue to eat the fruits thereof, or it can be a relationship, God, where you have given to us and we love our money like we love our bride, like we love our spouse, because we'll take care of it and we'll use it wisely and we won't abuse it. In the beautiful name of Jesus.